sea. Now a prison ship lies waiting in the bay. Small green birds fly. Our love was on the wing. We had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young man calling. Nothing matters, Mary, when you're free. Against the famine and the crown, I rebel, they cut me down. Now you must raise our child with dignity. On your own now, give it a lash, here we go. Watched the last star falling as the prison ship sailed out against the sky. For she lived in hope and pray for her love in Botany Bay. It's so lonely round the field. Hear it now.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Chase Blaine with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Write it down. Dial it into your phone. We love to hear from our listeners. Coming up later tonight, why I hate the United States government. Which mic are you on? You're on mic 3. Try that now.
Hello.
Coming up later tonight, why I hate the United States government. We're going to get into the heart of why I hate the United States government.
Wow, that's such a new story for me, Derek.
No, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, because there's sort of a general level of complaining about the government that goes on this program and on every other news and talk radio program in America, because it's what we do. It's why we're here.
Fair point.
If everybody was happy, nobody would tune in. And if I didn't have things to complain about, no one would tune in, because it'd be like, who wants to listen to the happy guy?
Yeah, I mean, that's very true, because what is there to talk about if it's all just, so that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good too.
But there's a lot.
Everything's wonderful.
But here's the thing. There's a lot of things that are beyond our government's control that we complain about, that really asking government to do anything about it
there's
is a waste of time.
There's nothing to be done. Yeah.
And then there are things that our government could very easily fix and very easily do something about. And because they are bought and paid for by large corporations, they never do those things. And now we find ourselves in a particular mess.
Ah, that revolving door.
Yes.
I remember learning about that concept in college and being like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This is why everything's so messed up.
Yeah. So there is something that set all of this off, and we'll get into that. But trust me, it's not because it's not because guns are legal in this country. That's not why I hate the government.
Okay? I was going to say, it's not for the usual reasons that people hate the government.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
It's not the institutional racism. It's something very, very simple that would be very easy to fix with a stroke of a pen and a little bit of legislation that never seems to happen, and we'll get into that. Bottom line is, you and I are potentially among 143 million Americans who got screwed last week.
Yes.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. So, stick around. We'll get into that. In the meantime, other things happened.
This is true.
I think.
In local news, Orion Krause, the 22-year-old Oberlin College graduate accused of 4 counts of murder, apparently used a baseball bat to kill his mother, his grandparents, and their caretaker at a home in Groton last week. The victims in the quadruple homicide were identified by Middlesex District Attorney Marion T. Ryan as Krause's mother, Elizabeth Krause, her parents, F. Dan B. Lackey III, and his wife, Elizabeth Lackey, and their caretaker, Bertha Mae Parker, a health aide who had just recently begun caring for the couple. Krause was ordered held without bail in the slayings and was committed to Bridgewater State Hospital, a psychiatric facility run by the Department of Corrections, so that doctors can evaluate whether or not he is competent to stand trial.
I'm going to put my hand up and say no. I'm gonna give a big no on that one. I don't think he is competent to stand anything.
Nor
we're
do
gonna
I.
Get down to it. One of the more interesting details about this tragic story is that he went to a neighbor's house.
Yes, I was going to say that was what I was going to bring up as well.
Covered in mud and blood, and said,
and completely naked.
And completely, yeah, and said, I just killed some people. Can you help? And they let him in.
No, to be fair, they did not let him in. What they did was he asked that he open the door. The man told his wife to stay back, which good husband right there. But he got him a chair. He got him a glass of water. He said, no, he didn't want any water. But he got him a chair and he said, you know, just stay there in that chair in my yard. I'm going to keep watching you. And then he called the police. And that's what's funny is that he called 911 thinking that he was just a crazy person making all of this up who needed medical attention. And the police and an ambulance came. And then a few hours later, a detective came to this couple's house and said, unfortunately, everything he said was true. He had just killed 4 people just up the road. And for those of you who aren't too familiar with Groton, it's about 40 miles north of Boston. It's a very woodsy, scenic, pretty community.
There's nobody out there.
It's definitely boondock style.
Yeah.
And even if you, that's what blew my mind was looking at the pictures of where this took place. It's when you picture just kind of an idyllic place to grow old, that's it.
Yeah.
And
it's where the people who don't want to go to Florida retire in Massachusetts.
Exactly. It's where you go to find some
Happy
peace.
Valley. Yeah.
And especially if you look into the details of the case too, they don't get into which one, but one of the victims was found outside, which clearly means they were trying to flee.
Yeah.
And it's just to be 22. He was a jazz drummer, and that's why I agree with you. I will be shocked if he is found capable of standing trial, because this is everyone who knew him is agreeing upon the fact he had some sort of psychotic break. Because I guess I looked into the case a bit, or the situation a bit more thoroughly. I guess he very abruptly and angrily left his family's house in Maine on Thursday night, and his mother got worried and called the police, but then he called her early the next morning saying he was in Boston, which was about 3 hours away from when they lived in Rockport, and that he needed a ride home. And his mother agreed to pick him up, and on their way back, they stopped at her parents' house. And that's how all of this happened.
Yeah.
And so it was definitely, you know, talk about not being premeditated. He had no idea. How could he have known that she was going to stop it? You know what I mean? This was not some planned out plot. This was someone having a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
And reacting in one of the less desirable ways that one does to having a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, we'll get more details about this in the coming days.
Yes, and absolutely.
We won't like any of them. We got this one, and then we got the guy that walked into the ICU up at Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center and shot his mother to death.
Oh, that's one of my things that happened. You stole it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say,
the fact that I agree. The fact that there's two... matricides in a week is...
I think we're going to find out that there's something more to the New Hampshire story than there is to this other one.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, either this guy, like, wanted his mother taken off the machines because she wasn't going to recover, or he was overwhelmed by medical bills or whatever it is. We're going to figure out that there's a legitimate motive.
Yes, there's...
that there's any legitimate reason to kill somebody, but
it was
a
all
motive.
He even said to the police, he said, I went to the hospital with the intent of killing my mother.
Yeah, and
within 9 minutes of checking in, killed her.
Yeah, whereas this thing that happened out in Groton...
is going to be... That's why I thought this was such an important story. I mean, if there's a radio show in Utah, this should be their national news, because this is something that's going to... unfortunately become sensational, because this is a quadruple homicide in a quiet, peaceful Massachusetts town by the hand of the grandson and the son.
Yeah.
And like I said, he was 22. He had just graduated. He was a jazz drummer. By everyone's account, he was a good guy. I'm in no way, by the way, for those of you who are going to call flipping out saying, she's defending, I'm not defending him, but just by everyone's account, he was a good, normal guy.
This has 48 hours mysteries written all over it.
Yeah, good, normal guys don't beat their family to death with bats.
No.
Like, they just don't.
No.
Unless there's some crazy... unsolved mysteries, like you said, like a 48 hours.
I don't even know how you kill four people with a baseball bat. I don't think I could do that.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, killing someone, and I'm not trying to say like this is an easier way to kill somebody, but shooting somebody or something, killing someone with a baseball bat is a very personal way to do it.
It's also very hard to do.
Exactly. You have to want that person to die and put all of your strength into killing them.
I mean, at least two people that he killed were, relatively speaking, young and able-bodied.
Yeah. His mother was, I believe, let me look, his mother was 60 and the caretaker was 68. That's young enough to be able to have the strength to defend yourself in a fight or flight situation.
These aren't frail people. You know, they're probably capable of running away.
Exactly. Which, I mean, by the fact that one of the bodies was found outside indicates. But this, it reminded me of, I can't remember his name, and I'm glad because I hate remembering the names of people who commit crimes like this. But it reminded me of the kid in Florida who killed his parents with a hammer and then threw a party.
Yeah.
That's while their bodies were in the bedroom.
Yeah.
This is not, this is a psychiatric break. This is, it's to have the capacity to not only kill someone, but kill someone in that manner and to, for lack of a better term, to completion.
Yeah.
It, that, a sane, or even, even if you're insane, but level-headed, a person can't do that unless something very, very wrong has gone on inside their brain. Oh, but yes, I hate to sound excited, but I am. I'm excited to see what happens with this story, because I do think, as you said, Derek, in the next few days, we're going to hear, in the next few days, next few weeks, we're going to hear a lot about.
Yeah, this is one of those ones where you're going to get answers and you're not going to like any of them.
Precisely. So. Well, in national news, the death toll from Hurricane Irma has continued to climb today in the United States, with at least 30 dead across three states. According to officials, four people have died in South Carolina and three in Georgia. In Florida, 23 people have died in connection with the storm, including a weather-related car accident in the Florida Keys and the eight people who died after Irma knocked out air conditioning at a nursing home in Hollywood. Monroe County officials say search and rescue teams are going door-to-door today in the hardest-hit areas of the Keys and that military personnel are helping with the search. According to FEMA, as many as 25% of homes in the Keys were completely destroyed, and as many as 65% of homes suffered major damage.
Can we talk about this nursing home thing?
Yeah, that's
because what,
crazy pants.
What's, what did you have down as the death toll?
Eight.
Okay, so you've got the up-to-date number.
Well, I'm sorry, eight only in that nursing home.
Right, no, eight in the, because it started out at five this morning. And then it was six at lunchtime, and now it's up to eight now. And
I'm going to say, I kept rechecking it because I knew that was going to continue to break, and I checked maybe an hour ago. It was eight. Perhaps now it's 10.
How does that happen?
Well, especially,
because there are a lot of ways that you can die in a hurricane that I can understand. You get electrocuted. You get into a car accident. You get swept out to sea. House collapses. Tornado shows up. And given, here's the interesting thing. You look back at Hurricane Katrina, hundreds of people died.
Yeah.
And I think close to 1,000 people died in Hurricane Katrina. I don't believe the combined death toll for Irma and Henry,
Harvey. You keep forgetting his name.
I keep calling it
name.
Henry.
I know.
I don't think the combined death toll for Irma and Henry has gone over 100 yet.
I wouldn't say it gets even close, like even within throwing distance of Katrina.
And these are hurricanes that hit major metropolitan centers.
Mm-hmm.
So we've learned things, and we've done things right, and there's always going to be death associated with an event like this. It's unfortunate. More, some of those people probably could have been saved if they'd heeded warnings, etc. But this thing at the nursing home is out of control.
This is...
How do you...
lax.
Look, you've got old people. You've got people with medical needs in a building with no power. Why haven't they been evacuated? Why is no one aware of this?
Or why is there not a gigantic generator?
Why isn't there a generator? Yeah. Throw a generator on a boat and take it down there and get the air conditioning running.
Or set up throw a boat down there and get them out.
When it gets hot here in the summertime, what do? We open up the senior center and turn it into a cooling station.
Yes.
All you need is a window air conditioner in a room that you can stuff a bunch of people into. That will get the job done.
Yes.
But somehow, we lost eight people, 3 days after the hurricane hit, because there's no air conditioning? That's appalling.
Well, and this...
That's appalling.
You could even take this to the point, and I'm not trying to bring up a whole political ageist thing, but you could take this to the point of people qualifying what to prioritize in terms of the preservation of life.
We got 115 patients here and no power. That's what you prioritize. They evacuated all the hospitals down there.
That's what I'm saying. Is that, and I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that it speaks, exactly, it speaks to the fact that all the hospitals were evacuated, yet these 100 some odd people who are all elderly just happened to be overlooked.
They got 115 out of there today. Too late for some. So
clearly,
clearly evacuation was possible prior to today.
That's what I'm saying, is that this could have been, if this had been handled 3 days ago, 2 days ago, a week ago,
yeah,
It's not like this. And that's the thing too, is it's not like with an earthquake or something where it just happens. There's almost no warning. You can have like a little tremor and it's like, ooh, something like I remember from living in Los Angeles, I'd feel a tremor and be like, there's going to be an earthquake. And then 12 hours later, there's an earthquake. Yeah. And I was lucky enough that while I was there, I didn't have to experience anything devastating. But for the most part, no warning. There's just suddenly an earthquake. We were tracking this hurricane for like over a week.
Yeah.
There were plenty of opportunities to get the people that they knew were going to be susceptible to something, to having the worst fallout, to having being the most affected. We could have gotten them out of there.
Well, Hollywood, I don't know.
I hate that it's called Hollywood, by the way.
I don't know exactly where the nursing home is, because Hollywood actually cuts from the coast right into
Hollywood's
the center of the state.
Huge.
So, depending on which side of 95 you were on, I think if you were east of 95, you're probably getting evacuated.
Yeah.
And if you're west of 95, you're not. But if there's no power,
doesn't make a difference.
And you got a bunch of old people sitting around sweltering, like, you got to get them out of there. Or you got to get air conditioning in there, or you have to do something.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Beyond the not evacuating, that's what I kept thinking about reading about that is, why is there, it's a nursing home, why is there no generator? Why is there no backup source of power?
Yeah.
Especially, you live in Florida. It is sunny, other than when there's a hurricane, it is sunny there all the time. Toss some solar panels on the ceiling and save that up. Like, it's not rocket science. But again, no, I'm not going to say it because they just went through a tragedy. So I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, but somebody,
you know what I was going to say.
Well, somebody screwed up here real bad.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody screwed up real bad.
And there are eight families who I hope are going to make them answer for it.
Yeah, more than likely. In world news, Hezbollah, a Lebanese Shiite militant group that has sent thousands of fighters to Syria, on Tuesday declared victory in the Syrian civil war. Russia backed up the claim, saying that forces loyal to President Bashar al-Assad now control 85% of the country, including large parts of eastern Syria previously held by Islamic State. Some areas are still under rebel control, but Hezbollah leader Syed Hassan Nasrallah dismissed them as, quote, scattered battles, end quote. So, the Syrian civil war is over, so says Hezbollah, which was fighting in support of al-Assad, by the way. So says Russia, which is fighting in support of al-Assad, by the way. Bashar gets to stay in power, which we knew was a foregone conclusion anyway. There are still pockets of ISIS around the country. And what you're going to hear about for the next 6 months to 24 months is pockets
to
of
5 years.
Pockets of ISIS popping up, causing problems. Eventually, they will probably drive them out of there and back into Iraq.
I mean,
I don't know how to take
good. Like, that's the thing, is I'm like, how do you even take that? You know, it's always anything that goes on in Syria or in the various other places in the Middle East where we just tend to throw our hands up in the air being like, what do we do?
Yeah,
anytime there's any sort of progress or whatever you would like to call it, it's always kind of like, well, I guess that's better.
Certainly you want to hear that the civil war in Syria is over.
Oh, absolutely.
You want to
but
hear
at the
that
same
it's
time,
done.
You never, in the Middle East, there's never any sense of,
you know what I don't want to hear? Hezbollah claiming victory.
That's saying. That's not. Yay! The civil war in Syria is over.
Hey, Hezbollah
but
won.
Here's all of the caveats attached to it.
Yeah, and one of the biggest caveats attached to this is part of what they're defining as victory is the fact that as al-Assad's forces and Hezbollah and the Russians have encircled various cities and towns that were dominated by either the rebels or by ISIS, they have reached peace agreements or temporary truce agreements that allowed those rebels to pack up and move to other areas held by the rebels, which means there are still places in Syria that are held by the rebels. And What happens to those? Well, if al-Assad is left to his own devices, we know what happens. Barrel bombs, chemical weapons, and everybody dies.
That's what I'm saying, is there's never even, okay, like I said, great Syrian civil war over, woo. But it's not like, it's not like when we took the Berlin Wall down, you know? It's, there's no, it's not resolute. It's not, it's just, okay, so that part's over, but now this other kind of crappy part is going to start.
And al-Assad is still there, so it's not like all of the millions of Syrian refugees are going to go back home.
Yeah, it's not like this isn't, there's no resolution. It's just a, okay, so that chapter of terribleness is over. What's this fresh hell going to bring? Like it.
There was a very, very good movie on, I think it was History Channel. I'm pretty sure it was History Channel last night, called Hell on Earth, which tracked the origins and development of the Syrian Civil War and had a number of unkind things to say about the United States and our lack of involvement and how that enabled the war to continue and al-Assad's role in this. Al-Assad,
we're very damned if you do, damned if you don't to the rest of
al-Assad,
the world.
Al-Assad also wasn't doing anything about ISIS. He and ISIS did not consider each other enemies.
Nor friends.
Because ISIS was not actively fighting against him. They were trying to set up their own thing. And as long as ISIS was doing what they were doing, al-Assad could commit his atrocities, and they weren't making the headlines. So ISIS kind of became...
almost like... no, red herring is not quite the right word, but almost the dancing monkey to distract from the person planting the bomb under the
stage. It's a good smokescreen.
Yeah, smokescreen. Thank
ISIS
you.
ISIS was a good smokescreen.
That was the analogy I was
looking for. For what al-Assad was doing. And, you know, this situation in Syria is never going to change. I think what you do at this point, and I've said this for the last couple of years, you put a wall around Syria, and everybody on the planet who wants to go play war, you can just airdrop them into Syria and let them shoot at each other until they're dead. Because there's nothing left there to save other than a ridiculously corrupt administration that wantonly slaughters its own people.
That's the thing, is like to save Syria, you'd literally have to start from scratch. Everything would just have to start over.
Everything's bombed. There's nothing left.
It wouldn't even be saving. It would just be reconstructing.
The cities are piles of rubble, and the people have left. So what you have now is al-Assad is the ultimate warlord sitting on this war-torn battlefield and saying, hey, look, I won. Well, what did you win? You didn't win anything. Sad situation. And the reckoning for Syria is going to continue for generations.
Yeah, unfortunately. That's the thing, is that I can't remember a time in my life where I was lucid. Let's put it that way. Not like I was on drugs. I mean, when I started remembering things, but that there wasn't something going on in Syria.
It was the biggest.
And I imagine I have a niece who's 3 and a niece who just turned 1. Their whole lives are going to be the same way.
It is the biggest human migration since World War II. And the effects of that, because those people, everyone who immigrated to Europe, they're not going home. They're not gonna be like, oh, Hezbollah said the war is over, let's go back home. Nobody's going home. They have no home to go back to. So they are now.
Yeah, their home has either been bombed or taken over, or
they are now part of the European population. You have a massive Syrian diaspora that is spread out over Europe. And that is going to impact European culture, Europe's economy, European politics for decades to come. The entire history of the world changes because of what happened in Syria. And Americans don't get it, because we sit over here, you know, we let a couple hundred Syrians into the United States and everybody freaks out saying, no, they're probably terrorists. No, they're probably not. And we've talked about that. Maybe there might be a couple of ISIS sneaking in on fake passports. We don't know. But we sit here and we're like, hey, what's the big deal with this Syria thing? Go over to Europe. And 30 years from now, when the political balance has shifted radically in Europe, you can ask what the big deal with Syria was. In sports. Are we talking about something positive?
Please.
We're done. We're done bringing you the worst of the world, folks. It gets happy from here. In sports news, Major League Baseball, you like them.
I do like Major League Baseball.
You're a fan of the baseball people.
I do like the baseball peoples.
Major League Baseball will bring back opening day in 2018. For the last several years, opening day has been a concept more than a date, with an ESPN Sunday Night Baseball game kicking off the season and a slow rollout of baseball over the next several days.
Yeah.
Next year, baseball returns to the traditional opening day, with all 30 teams playing on Thursday, March 29th. This is the first time since 1968 that every baseball team will play on a single opening day, and the earliest opening day in Major League Baseball history. So they're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the last real opening day by having a real opening day. But it's in March. Season is too long.
Yes, this is true.
Season is too long.
But I think...
Please stop with the baseball.
Hey.
I'm not saying I don't like baseball. I'm saying... Could we get a couple of months of the year that aren't part of the regular season?
Weird. That's what I think about football.
Football's only going from September to the end of December, basically. We got playoffs in January.
Still feels too long. Actually, no. More like basketball. I feel that way about basketball. Basketball, whenever they get to the championship, I'm always like, I'm wearing a miniskirt. It's hot out.
Yeah.
Isn't this a winter sport?
Father's Day is usually when the finals are being decided.
Yeah. And that's what I was like, but
hockey isn't much better.
I think the reason I totally understand this is that baseball, I love you baseball, but it's kind of lost some of its vigor with, especially in New England with, I mean, everyone still loves the Red Sox, but it's a very like, I love the Red Sox because my grandfather loved the Red Sox. Whereas, and I'm just using this as an example, I think that countrywide, this is probably a relevant thing. But whereas, say, football, for perfect example, it's very now. It's very, oh, Tom Brady and like... Oh, like this sponsor and that sponsor, and I saw him on this commercial and things like that. It's baseball's lost a little bit of its the cachet that it used to have, and part of that is that they kind of dulled down the fanfare because it became such a given. It's America's pastime. It's like, of course everyone's going to keep being into baseball. But I think this is a smart PR move on their part just to bring back a little bit of the glitz and glamour that it once had.
I agree with that 100%. I think this is a very smart move by Major League Baseball. And I think there are two things that have really hurt Major League Baseball. Number one, it's too spread out. It's too all over the place. In the spring, you know, is it started? Is it still going on? You get into October and it's like, when are the playoffs? Who's playing? Some games are on weekends. Some games are on weeknights. Is there baseball tonight? Is there not baseball tonight? Ask anybody who lives over in Fenway. They know the schedule like the back of their hand because they need to know whether or not they can get home. But for everybody else, it's like, is there a baseball game tonight? I don't know. Football, the one thing that they did really, really well was to concentrate everything on Sunday. Yes, they have the Thursday night games that no one likes. Yes, Monday night football is a great thing. Because Monday night, it's nice to come home after work on a Monday or go out to the bar and watch a football game.
Yeah, and have some...
Yeah, fall asleep.
Especially because football...
fall asleep in front of the TV because Sean McDonough is calling it in his monotone voice as if it were a baseball game. And that's the other thing... That's the other thing.
And Tom Brady throws a 60-yard pass.
My God, I can't take it. That's the other thing that really hurt Major League Baseball. Baseball, in general, has been watching park attendance decline and viewership decline and all of this because they're not on broadcast television anymore. The NFL has resisted the urge to move all of its programming over to cable. The networks pony up. And pay good money. Baseball, back in the 1980s, as soon as Ted Turner came along and put the Braves on his national station, changed the calculus because now you could watch Braves games anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
And the Braves became a huge team because of that and made a lot of money. So what did all the teams go out? They all went out and they either created their own cable networks, which is what New York did with YES.
With YES.
Or they signed up with some startup local cable network like NESN.
Like NESN, yeah.
And if you didn't have cable, you couldn't watch the game.
Well, the funny thing, too, is that I didn't even realize that because I remember, you know, I grew up here. It was just a given to me.
If Sox, the Sox are on 38.
If the Sox are, exactly, Sox are on 38. Yeah. If the Sox are playing, I can watch them.
Yeah.
And then I went to college in New York City and, you know, we had basic cable in our dorms. And I was like, the Sox are on. What channel do I watch it on? People are like, are they playing the Yankees?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, then you don't.
I'm surprised. You were in the Bronx. I'm surprised you didn't get the beat down. You know, where they were like, you're asking for a Red Sox game here? What's wrong with you?
Are you kidding? I did get... When I went to college, my freshman year of college was 2004. I lived in the Bronx for 6 weeks when the Sox won the World Series for the first time in 86 years. Yeah. Me and two other Red Sox fans locked ourselves in a dorm room watching the playoffs and the World Series. And when I walked around, I proudly... Boston, you'll be proud of me. I proudly walked around in my Veritech jersey. I had three, and I would just routinely wash them, or they'd just stink. I didn't really care. I got beer bottles thrown at me. I got rocks thrown at me. I got screamed at. I got attempts at ripping my hair out. But yeah, that's, well, it's, and it's weird too, because I actually had no idea that I had, and I, of course, with the many places I've lived, it's dulled out. But those of you who knew me as a child and teenager, I used to have a mean Boston accent, but I had no idea until I moved to New York, because I'd say, hey, how you doing? And you're like, oh my God, you're from Boston.
What's up, guy?
What up? Hey, kid, kid.
Hey, hey, guy, come here. Guy, what's up? What are you doing?
But yeah, no, I definitely, well, that's, I ended up having to scout out Boston, either I had to either scout out Boston themed bars, of which there are only a few in New York City, or I had to find a friend who had like a friend who lived off campus who had like the unlimited cable package where they just got absolutely everything.
And it's like one of the interesting things about, you know, because that ultimately gave rise to things like Sunday Ticket, and now you have bars in every city which on Sunday are for the fans of whatever out-of-market team that bar happens to affiliate with. Mm. There is an Eagles bar. There is a Steelers bar. There is a Bears bar. There is a Saints bar. All these bars are around.
Oh, yeah. When I lived in L.A., there was a Cleveland Browns bar I used to hang out at.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, just up in Cambridge, right across from the registry, is the Cleveland... the Chicago Bears bar. And they got signs out on the side of it. Come watch the Bears here on Sunday. Because all the Bear fans go down there and drink beer and eat kielbasa and watch the Bears game.
And complain about how the pizza here is too thin.
But baseball never quite figured that out. Baseball was like, we're going to go on cable and we're going to serve the local market and that's it.
Well, and that's like I said,
You can actually get the YES Network if you're willing to throw a lot of money at Verizon Fios.
I'm going to say, you have to get, well, that's what my ex-boyfriend when we lived in L.A., ended up getting. It was literally, it's called like the ultimate ESPN sports package or something, where you pay like an extra $100 a month or something insane, and you get absolutely every sports channel
ESPN,
in the country.
ESPN 2, ESPN Classic.
It used to drive me crazy
ESPN
though, because
Deportivo.
I get to that
ESPN
point.
ESPN U, ESPN Deportivo 2.
ESPN de Ocho.
Yeah.
But that's, it used to drive me crazy though, because when I get to that point in the viewing guide, I'd be like, oh my God, I have to scroll through like 200 channels right now.
Yeah. Sports, 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 sports. But it's hurt baseball.
Well, that's like I said, and it's partially too because baseball, correct me if I'm wrong, but baseball is the oldest sport in our country in terms of having a national league. And I don't mean the National League, like National League, American League. I mean like in having city-sponsored teams.
Late 1800s.
Exactly. So because it's so old school, it almost has to catch up with the way things are done now. It can't just be for the love of the game. It has to be the rigmarole and the glitz and the this and the that and the and everything that comes along with PR and promotion and gaining an audience beyond just that it's good.
Because one of the things that you get in the NFL that keeps the league healthy and keeps people invested is you walk into your office, you walk into a bar, you walk into any place and ask people, what team do you like? If you're in New England, you're going to get a lot of Patriot fans because they're the best team in football. And
I love that that's why.
Football
that's
fans,
explanation for why.
Given the choice to root for the best team in football or somebody else, you're probably going to root for the best team in football if you're from around here. But You're also going to get people who are like, I love the Bears, I love the Saints,
I love the Vikings.
I love the there are still a lot of old school Giant fans up here from the days before the Patriots.
Yeah.
They're dying out, but they're still around. And it's because you can watch the games, you can maintain a relationship with that team. Your fandom is not limited
to
the lens of New England Patriots all the time. I can turn on the TV on Sunday and I can watch six different football games. And if I'm a fan of the Vikings or I'm a fan of the Lions is my second team. If I'm a fan of the Lions, there's a good chance I'm going to be able to see a Lions game. And if it's not going to be on TV, Sunday ticket doesn't cost that much. Or I can watch Red Zone on the NFL Network. So one way or another, I can stay connected to my team. Baseball, like what are the Kansas City Royals up to? What are the San Diego Padres? Name the last time you found a fan of somebody. We got a lot of Yankee fans up here, partly to be contrarian and partly because...
I'm going to say, that's the same people that say they don't like pizza or the Beatles.
We have an unfortunate number of New Yorkers who find their way up into Boston and can't find their
way
back home.
Stupid colleges. No offense, Tufts. I love you. Thank you for letting me speak on your radio station.
They wind up in downtown Boston. They realize the roads aren't a grid. They get lost. They stay here, and we're stuck with them. So we got a lot of Yankee fans. But you don't hear people talk about baseball. You don't hear people sitting around here going like, hey, man, Kansas City Royals this year, they're amazing.
Big as a baseball fan as I am, someone the other day was like, oh, you're a baseball fan? Name every team in the American League. I'm like, honestly, I could maybe name like a quarter of them just because, and not for lack of paying attention, just because I don't get them all thrown in my face all the time.
Now, if somebody walks in here and says, hey, you know, let's talk about the Carolina Panthers or the San Francisco 49ers, I could go on forever.
Yeah.
You know, and have a reasonable conversation with them. If somebody walked in here and they were like, hey, what do you think of the Houston Astros? I'm like, I don't know. I have no exposure to that.
Their stadium's weird.
And it's not that yes, I play fantasy, but I don't go way out of my way to read all the latest football news. That's why I lose at fantasy. It's because I don't do that. But I also don't encounter much of any baseball news.
Oh, yeah. If it's not local to your city, you're probably not going to hear about it. And unless it's some crazy scandal or something like back, when was that? Maybe 15 years ago when they were doing the home run race.
Right.
Like something big and really, sensationalized.
There's a kid who might be challenging that record, playing on the Yankees right now. Or not on the Yankees, down in Florida. What's his name? I forget his name. Giancarlo Stanton.
As long as he's not playing for the Yankees, I'm rooting for him.
Giancarlo Stanton. But he's challenging for it. He's probably not going to get it, but he's challenging for it. And it's like, that should be a story that everybody hears about, but unless you're into baseball.
This is my first time hearing about it.
Yeah, this is the thing. A single opening day is a good idea. But if baseball really wants to fix their fan problem, get back on broadcast television. Get the games in front of the people again.
Yeah.
Especially during the summer when there's nothing on.
Yeah, totally. And when you want to sit in an air-conditioned room and just watch TV and do nothing else. And speaking of entertainment, in entertainment news, a judge awarded Rebel Wilson record damages of $3.66 million today over magazine articles the actress said cost her many roles in Hollywood films. A Supreme Court jury in Australia's Victoria State had decided in June that the articles claiming she lied about her age, origins of her first name, and her upbringing in Sydney were defamatory. Justice John Dixon said a substantial award amount was required to vindicate Wilson after her reputation as an actress of integrity was wrongly damaged. Bauer Media, the defendant and publisher of the Australian magazines Woman's Day, Australian, Women's Weekly, NW, and OK, said it was, quote, considering the judgment, end quote.
Considering appeal is probably a better way.
It was Australian press. They say things weird.
I don't know what to make out of this story.
I mean,
I really don't.
Number one, that's the thing. So it always, and supposedly she's donating all of her winnings to various Australian
The only winner here is Rebel Wilson.
Exactly.
And the loser here is everyone who's sick of hearing about Rebel Wilson.
Well, and that's the thing is that, number one, she's saying that she's donating all of it to Australian charities for women and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's whenever a celebrity has some sort of defamation lawsuit, I think two things. One, is this really, like, is their argument really that valid? Like, okay, Misha Barton has a defamation lawsuit against her ex-boyfriend who released a video of them having sex on the internet. I think that's a valid thing to sue somebody over.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She already had, like, and it had nothing to do with her career not doing well. It was literally just like, there are totally normal people who sue people over that.
Yeah, that's, you don't do that. Or the DJ that grabbed Taylor Swift's buttocks.
Yeah, like that.
That's
literally a crime.
Team Tay.
This feels, number one, like she wants PR.
Yeah.
And number two, it's like when it's like if you don't get into a comedy festival. This is just like my comedian, small-time comedian perspective and analogy parallel. When you don't get into a comedy festival and say to somebody, oh, well, you know, it's because that booker hates me and they were one of the people that decides. This is her being
that,
like,
may be true.
Which it may be true, but this is her saying, like, my career would be so much better if this Australian magazine hadn't said that I lied about a couple things.
Yeah.
You'll note that this is an Australian magazine. This isn't, how many, don't get me wrong, I know that a lot of producers, agents, directors, etc., read every single entertainment source ever and have assistants that give them every press release about everyone they're considering. That being said, I don't know how much it matters to a casting director that Australian Women's Day said something about Rebel Wilson lying about her age. First of all, because every actress lies about her age and about her name. Lots of people don't go by their real name. Like everything that she's sued over, it just feels like her kind of waxing her own ego.
Bill Cosby was accused of rape by 33 women and still was able to book stand-up gigs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. That's a better analogy than mine.
let's start with that.
Yeah, let's start with that.
And then work our way back. You know, this is Rebel, because I agree with you. I think this is Rebel Wilson, because nobody even would have heard about this coverage or this article if she hadn't filed the lawsuit.
Yeah.
And she filed the lawsuit because she's not getting work. Well, guess what? There are a lot of reasons why you don't get work in Hollywood.
Yes.
And Australian Women's Day is probably way down the list beyond past we don't think you're right for the part or we don't think you're good enough.
Yeah, like that's the thing that really bugs me the most about it is if she was suing Variety, I would have a different feeling about this. If Variety had said that stuff about her, Variety's something that every single person in Hollywood reads every single day. And this is not Variety.
No.
This is, and the roles that she's trying to get, and on the flip side of that, if the roles she was trying to get were in Australia, it would make more sense. But neither of those things are true. And short of Pitch Perfect and Bridesmaids, it's, you know, she's not, like, I know who Rebel Wilson is because I'm a comedian. I bet your average person you asked if they knew who she was, if they hadn't seen those two movies, would have no idea.
Yeah, she's Pitch Perfect.
And even if they had seen those two movies, they might not know that woman's name.
Pitch Perfect is her career. Hmm. Okay, yes, she's in Bridesmaids, but she's a really small part in Bridesmaids.
Even though I do love her part in Bridesmaids.
Yeah, and it's...
Ooh, prickly.
She's got a small... She does the same thing in Night of the Museum. It's set in London.
See, I didn't even know she was in that.
She's got a small and memorable part in that, where she makes the most out of it. But it's like Pitch Perfect is what everybody knows her for, and it's like, what roles are you being turned down for?
Yeah.
You know?
And she's a character comedic actress.
Yeah.
To say that it cost her roles in films, this isn't, and on the flip side of the third of what I was saying before, it'd be different if, like, Jennifer Lawrence was suing someone over saying these things about her. Jennifer Lawrence can play like anything.
Jennifer Lawrence wouldn't. Jennifer Lawrence would be like, I don't care
what
you say.
She'd be like, who gives a word I can't say on the radio? Yeah. I love Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
I want to hang out with her.
I don't care what you say. I have an audition to go on so that maybe I can get another
job
somewhere.
And I'm dope and F you. Yeah.
In technology news, Apple unveiled its 10th anniversary iPhone, dubbed the X, on Tuesday. The new device has no home button. Both the front and the back of the phone are glass, which allows all of the 5.8-inch OLED screen to be used. Users will log in with their faces, thanks to a new program called Face ID, and will even be able to create animated emojis with the feature. The device, which also offers wireless charging, will set you back $999 for the 64-gigabyte version, and $1,149 for the 256-gigabyte version.
I think my car is currently worth the lower gigabyte version.
But, Shay, but you can send someone an animated poo emoji. You can use your face to decide what emotions the poo emoji is going to share with your friends.
This is my question. Will the poo's face resemble my face?
No, it still looks like the poo, but if you do an eye roll, the poo emoji does an eye roll. If you smile, the poo emoji smiles.
If ever I needed an eye roll poo emoji, it's over the fact that Apple thinks it's important to be able to make an eye roll poo emoji.
$1,000 is all it costs to make an eye roll poo emoji of your own.
$1,000. It's 1/7 of the debt I'm in right now.
Why? It's the only thing that I can say to this because, you know.
I mean, even my current iPhone, which I think is the 5 maybe, there's so many things on it that I'm like, why? Humans have lived for thousands and thousands and thousands of years without this being necessary. And it's crazy to talk to you. There's a 16-year-old that works with me. He's the busboy at my day job. And I talk to him about certain things, and it blows my mind. He talks about how he doesn't like Facebook, but you have to have it. I'm like, you don't have to have Facebook.
No, you don't.
If you don't want to have Facebook, you don't. Well, yeah, you do, because it's just how life works.
No.
And I tell him, until a decade ago, life was completely devoid of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some
of us lasted decades on this planet without Facebook. How did we ever do it?
I had to explain to him what the expression hang up the phone means.
And not only did we survive decades without Facebook, we went to parties. We went on dates.
We're still contactable by other human beings.
We made it to important family events. We did all of these things without Facebook.
People still thought you were cool without you posting 30 times a day.
Yeah. Yeah. The sad thing, though, is that he's right. He is right in a certain sense that Facebook today,
you will now be out of the loop if you don't have Facebook.
Facebook is the default mode of communication in the same way the push-button telephone was the default mode of communication when I was his age.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you heard that. I had to explain to him why we say hang up the phone.
Yeah.
I told him to hang up his phone, and he's like, what do you mean hang it up? And I was like, hang it up. Hang up your phone. Why do you mean press end? And I was like, yeah. You never had to physically hang up a phone.
How does it feel to be an old? You're an old now.
My knee hurts.
Someday, they're going to grind us up and eat us. Because they're going to have to. Because
there
won't be any food left.
Well, I hope I taste terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. That's our future right there. Generation Z, they're calling them. They might actually be worse than the millennials. Might. That's a big might.
God help us.
Here's the other thing. The iPhone X does not have is any sort of jack buttons for anything, so you got to get the wireless headphones to go with it.
Of course you do, because why sell a technological device if it doesn't require 5 other purchases
to
go along with it?
That's right. The real money, Shay, is in the expensive add-ons. And
hey, I'm a
Apple
woman. I understand. You're not a woman without a bracelet, necklace, earrings.
You're all about the expensive add-ons.
Yeah.
You can't just buy Shea. You've got to get the accessories.
Oh, yeah. Shea's not Shea without a weird ring.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Pretty nice day today.
Oh, it was a lovely day today. I was glad to have it off.
Don't expect that to stick around. Sorry. The humidity goes up, and the temperature does not really go down tonight. Lows in the middle to upper 60s, depending on where you are. And then tomorrow, humid under partly cloudy skies. Highs in the low 80s, lows in the mid 60s tomorrow night. Friday, humid. Showers during the day.
Thunder showers, I hear.
Thunderstorms late in the afternoon. It's that summer weather pattern.
You get that
hot, humid air early in the day, thunderstorms rolling all afternoon. Temperatures in the mid-70s, lows in the mid-60s. Saturday, humid. But the temperature drops a little bit, highs in the upper 70s, lows in the mid-60s. Sunday, humid, highs in the mid-70s, lows around 60 Sunday night. And then Monday, humid, high around 70, lows around 60.
Just keep those fingers crossed that the weather is nice on the North Fork of Long Island this weekend, because Mama wants her last day at the beach before all the leaves drop.
Humid. If you're looking for the beach weather, other than the clouds, this isn't going to be bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I've been, knock on wood for me, kids, but I'm thinking that this weekend is going to be prime Shea playing in the ocean time.
Nice. Yeah, ocean's still warm. And
I was going to say, if anything, typically if the weather's a little bit cooler, the ocean feels warmer. So.
Yeah. All right, so it's a win for you.
Yeah.
For those of us trying to get the fall yard work done, not so much. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is WMFO Medford. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week?
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
FM WMFO Medford. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shea Spillane. With me, as always, my good friend Derek Gary. We're going to be with you tonight till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you at 855-915-9636. If you like the alphabet better than the numerical system, that's 855-915-WMFO. And now is one of our favorite points in the program, where we do Did You Hear? Which is where we like to quiz each other on the various news stories of the previous week.
It's where we find out how dumb Shea and Derek really are.
Yes.
Is how I like to think about it.
Yeah, that's a fair way of putting it.
Semi-plugged in this week in between all the football, so. But there was the football.
Yes, the all-important football.
Yes.
Olympics.
The Olympics are officially going to Paris and Los Angeles. Paris is going to take the first one, which is going to be 2024, and Los Angeles will be hosting them in 2028.
Yes, and this was by a show of hands is how they decided. Earlier today in Lima, Peru, both Paris and LA made their bids, and each one lasted about 25 minutes long with speeches and videos. What I loved is Los Angeles included the one from their mayor back in 2013 that swore they'd get it in 2024 and had, in true Los Angeles form, a bunch of celebrities sign it.
Nice.
Amongst them, Magic Johnson and Tom Hanks.
Aw, well, Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I mean, I love Tom Hanks, so I can't really. But I do find it hilarious that they were like, look at all these celebrities that want it in 2024. And then they're like, nah, Paris.
Tom Hanks should be the mascot for the Los Angeles Olympics.
Tom Hanks should be the mascot of America.
Everybody likes Tom Hanks. And it's just like, you know,
And if you don't like Tom Hanks, you're lying.
Tom Hanks with a javelin, Tom Hanks with a, you know, trying to jump over a hurdle.
When he does that face.
Tom Hanks doing a...
I know you guys can't see me, but I'm doing the Tom Hanks
doing the high dive. You know, we just have Tom Hanks representing all these Olympic events, and everybody will fall in love.
Oh, yeah.
He's America's sweetheart.
They should have just had him come. That would have been what clinched
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Tom, we'll fly you to Lima.
Yeah. No, just...
we need you for the Olympics.
Just, well, see...